1045 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Biden classified documents. I'm Michelle Franzen. President Biden speaking to House Democrats in Virginia today, gathering for their annual caucus conference and responding to the special counsel's final report on his handling of classified documents. The president says he cooperated in the probe.
I was pleased to see they reached the conclusion I believed and knew all along they would, that there are no charges should be brought in this case.
No criminal charges, but special counsel Robert Hur did conclude Biden willfully retained materials after leaving office as vice president. ABC's Jonathan Carl on Biden's reasoning for having the documents.
He retained them essentially to write two different books and to document his legacy. This is from the report. He used these materials to write memoirs published in 2007 and 2017 to document his legacy and to cite as evidence that he was a man of presidential timber.
This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is cracking down on odometer rollbacks and title fraud. The Department of Motor Vehicles says it revoked the licenses of 32 wholesale vehicle dealer licenses in the last 2 months. Two dealers rolled back more than 6 million miles on about 64 vehicles. The agency says the problem is bad actors among Wisconsin's wholesale car dealers. President Biden and Donald Trump are tied in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette University Law School poll.
49-49 with registered voters, 50 for Trump, 49 for Biden with likely voters. When we add in third-party votes, it stretches to a three-point Trump lead.
Poll director Charles Franklin on the Devil's Advocate show on Civic Media. The election is 9 months away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Minnesota State Fire Marshal has released additional details regarding the Lutzen Resort Lodge, which burned down earlier this week. According to a press release, an inspection found the Lutzen Lodge had 7 violations, 4 of which were repaired by the owner, including tests of the sprinkler and fire alarm systems. The press release noted that it is still too soon to determine if the 3 violations that were not addressed played a role in the fire. The state fire marshal's office is continuing to investigate the cause of the fire. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin state legislature would require that parking structures be inspected every 5 years. Under the bill, if the owner of a parking garage fails to carry out the inspection, they would begin receiving fines of $200 per month after a 6-month grace period and a notice from the Department of Safety and Professional Services. If the parking garage remains uninspected for over a year past the 5-year deadline, the DSPS would close the parking garage until the inspection occurs. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin loses at Michigan. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers losing 72-68 to a struggling Michigan Wolverine program. They were able to snap a 5-game losing streak. The Badgers head to Rutgers Saturday. Number 7th-ranked Marquette getting ready to host St. John's on Saturday. The Golden Eagles have now won 6 in a row. Baseball. The Brewers adding players after trading pitcher Corbin Burns to the Orioles. They've signed Jacob Junis from the Giants to a 1-year deal. And they've also added catcher Gary Sanchez from the Padres to a 1-year contract worth $7 million. NFL, the 49ers holding practice, but they don't like the field they're on at UNLV as they get ready for the Super Bowl. It's AstroTurf laid down over a natural grass field. Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to change our whole schedule up.
Are you satisfied with that choice?
We're here. We're practicing on it. I mean, everyone has their preferences and wish things were better, but we'll deal with the field how it is.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We've got it all today. Unseasonable warmth as highs soar to near 50, thanks to strong winds gusting out of the south up to 35 miles per hour. We'll see pockets of sunshine, cloudy skies, scattered showers, and even a chance of thunderstorms later this afternoon and into the evening. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon till 3, we're talking Super Bowl with Brady Ewing and the Week in Review with Peter Rapine on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, it's Thursday, Caucus Thursday. Here in the great state of Nevada, where I'm at currently, it's a SCOTUS Thursday, and it's, of course, Friday Eve. Welcome to it, my little buddy.
Pretty welcome. It is a Friday Eve that certainly seems like a Friday to me. I will be off tomorrow. But great to see you, man. Nate, thank you for your hard work today. Lots of interesting sound. Thank you for joining us.
Dom, as you well know, I'm here in Las Vegas, baby. On the For the Love of Democracy tour, wish you could join me. Too bad it's moving day for you tomorrow. But I've been here, enjoyed myself in Las Vegas, had a nice dinner last night, surf and turf. You know how I like it, Dom. Yeah. And the For the Love of Democracy tour 2024, and I would just point out, thank you to our fine sponsor partner, Chad's Design Build. But I'm not eating on Chad. I'm not drinking on Chad. I'm just arriving and being here on Chad, you know, doing my part for the show and the nation and Chad's Design Build. Thank you to them.
It's our civic duty, Crudy. We must do this.
Yes, absolutely. And Dom, I woke up this morning in the MGM Grand Signature. Chad did put us up at a nice hotel, but I visited a less nice hotel. We'll talk about that in just a minute, Dom. But the SCOTUS oral arguments this morning, I basically, and I'm on Pacific time, so I'm trailing you. I've been staying up late, getting up late. But I woke up this morning, and I immediately turned on the SCOTUS oral arguments. As soon as they came on, I listened. And, Dom, I can tell you, the arguments for Colorado trying to exclude the former president, Donald Trump, from the ballot, I came away with the impression that this did not go well for Colorado. And that Crudy has been absolutely right on this topic all along. I put this one in the win column for Crudy.
Oh, okay, man. Well, number one is not done yet. You can't claim being right on a discussion point. I don't ever remember you laying down some odds and saying this is going to happen. Because if that would have happened, I would want some odds. It's not a 50-50. It was always an uphill battle to get this through. But I would also say morally, right, Nate? Morally. This absolutely should happen. Donald Trump, in fact, did engage in insurrection, as history will know him to be or to have done, and he should absolutely be disqualified from the ballot.
Well, see, that's where we disagreed, and that's where the Supreme Court will support my correct belief in history.
Oh, that was moral.
Judge you
that's moral.
For your
oh, no, come on. Here, you think, I want to be clear here. Let's put this one down in stone. You think 150 years from now, they're going to look back and say Donald Trump did not engage in an insurrection? That's your position right now?
That is not at all what the arguments before the court was.
I understand that. I'm making
should he be disqualified from the ballot of Colorado? And I agree with the Supreme Court's assessment, and I think we'll soon see a ruling that agrees with me, and I don't think it's going to be 5-4, Dom. Best case scenario, this is a 7-2 supporting Donald Trump's assertion that he should be put on the Colorado ballot and that this court should make this decision for the entire nation, and that is effectively what this ruling will do, Dom. And sadly, because I'd love to see the old man excluded from the ballot, but I agree with the position and the skepticism the justices seem to have during their questioning. Oral arguments today. Dom, we've got this, and we can bring it to the audience with a little help from Nate.
And, of course, we'll take calls as well today, 844-967-2789. Unfortunately, Crudy, the reporting seems to go your way as well. Headline over at the New York Times, Supreme Court justices appear skeptical of arguments to kick Trump off state ballots. Washington Post, Supreme Court poised to allow Trump to remain on the Colorado ballot. So let's hear some of the sound. Ketanji Brown-Jackson, I believe we're going to start
now,
with Nate.
Earlier in Ketanji Brown Jackson, I believe, questioning the Trump attorneys. And, you know, at one point I saw some reporting earlier today, early in the testimony, because anyone could have listened to this live. And people are like, well, Justice Alito's bailing out the Trump attorneys. And Ketanji Brown Jackson, Justice Brown Jackson's grilling them. Let's play that.
Let's go. Insurrection or no insurrection? Cut one.
Final question. The Colorado Supreme Court concluded that the violent attempts of the petitioner supporters in this case to halt the count on January 6 qualified as an insurrection as defined by Section 3. And I read your opening brief to accept that those events counted as an insurrection. But then your reply seemed to suggest that they were not. So what is your position as to that?
We never accepted or conceded in our opening brief that this was an insurrection. What we said in our opening brief was President Trump did not engage in any act that can plausibly be characterized as insurrection.
All right, so why would this not be an insurrection? What is your argument that it's not? Your reply brief says that it wasn't because I think you say it did not involve an organized attempt to overthrow the government. So
that's one of many reasons. But for an insurrection, there needs to be an organized, concerted effort to overthrow the government of the United States through violence. And this
check.
So the point is that a chaotic effort to overthrow the government is not an insurrection?
No, we didn't concede that it's an effort to overthrow the government either, Justice Jackson. Right? None of these criteria were met. This was a riot. It was not an insurrection. The events were shameful, criminal, violent, all of those things, but it did not qualify as insurrection, as that term is used in Section 3.
You know, and that would be a distinction I would draw. It's not just what happened at the Capitol that day. It is the ongoing criminal conspiracy leading up to and through the January 6th, Dom, that
organized,
could be characterized as an insurrection as well.
Like, come on, of course, in any sense of the matter, any logical, you know, regular interpretation of the words, an organized, concerted effort through violence. Well, that's exactly what it was. They met, they planned, right? This was an effort to get people, be there will be wild. They had meetings at the hotel. I mean, there's documentation. Hell, come on, man. People followed Roger Stone around with video cameras. Of course, this was an organized, concerted, violent, ultimately, effort to what? To overthrow the government. Come on. I don't know how you can read this any other way but as that.
But the question of whether or not Donald Trump should be excluded from the ballot via the 14th Amendment, Section 3, and specifically through the actions of the state of Colorado, well, we soon found during the oral arguments, Dom, let's call them the liberal justices, Elena Kagan. She seemed quite skeptical. Let's go with her next. If you would, play it for the people, Justice Kagan.
I think that the question that you have to confront is why a single state should decide who gets to be president of the United States. In other words, you know, this question of whether a former president is disqualified for insurrection to be president again is, you know, just say it. It sounds awfully national to me. So whatever means there are to enforce it would suggest that they have to be federal, national means. Why does, you know, if you weren't from Colorado and you were from Wisconsin or you were from Michigan, and it really, you know, what the Michigan Secretary of State did is going to make the difference between, you know, whether candidate A is elected or candidate B is elected. I mean, that seems quite extraordinary, doesn't it?
No, Your Honor, because ultimately it's this court that's going to decide that question of federal.
And some said he didn't represent very well, Dom, but I think there was just a strong skepticism from a lot of the justices that questioned. Now, some were all in the tank.
Sure.
Clarence Thomas in the tank.
Man, you know, I get it.
Well, let's play Justice Roberts. And I had expressed, at least on behalf of conservatives, playing devil's advocates on this show, I'd expressed these arguments that Roberts makes, but play them for the people.
But what do you do with the what seem to me to be plain consequences of your position? If Colorado's position is upheld, surely there will be disqualification proceedings on the other side, and some of those will succeed. Some of them will have different standards of proof. Some of them will have different rules about evidence. Maybe the Senate report won't be accepted in others because it's hearsay. Maybe it's beyond a reasonable doubt, whatever. In very quick order, I would expect, although my predictions have never been correct, I would expect that you know, a goodly number of states will say, whoever the Democratic candidate is, you're off the ballot, and others, for the Republican candidate, you're off the ballot. And it'll come down to just a handful of states that are going to decide the presidential election. That's a pretty daunting consequence.
The Pandora's box consequence.
You know what? But that's also so very disingenuous, and I'm going to lay it out for you why, Crudy. Roberts talks about what? The other side, they'll do it to you. If they'll have what? They'll have different standards of proof. Well, proof of what? Right? Proof of what? Are you assuming the same exact set of circumstances applied to the next president or whoever it may be? If that were to be the case, then how is the answer not? Yes, of course, that's fine. If the next guy gets in there and it's a Democrat and they pull the same thing with forethought, right? If they organized and had a concerted effort and ultimately through violence tried to stay in power, I would absolutely expect
that they would be
engaged in an insurrection and should be disqualified from the ballot.
But that's not the argument and the question that Roberts is ultimately asking. He's saying different secretaries of state, and I had the benefit of hearing the broader context here, Dom, but different secretaries of state or partisans would use this as a partisan tool. And you could say, but of course they would be adjudicated and they'd have their day in court, right? That would be the thought. But of course they pointed towards the main secretary of state as Fox News would describe her, an unelected state official making a decision.
They had a 5-day trial.
In Maine, they had a secretary of state making a unilateral decision.
Before them.
Dom, we'll come back. We'll argue more.
It's not, I get it, but that's not what happened in Colorado.
Okay, but this ruling is to set the table for the entire nation. And that was mentioned. The secretary of state referencing Maine. Kagan was.
Yes.
Dom, this song. I'm referencing the crappy Treasure Island Casino down the strip here. I was there for about two and a half hours today awaiting my Trump credentials. And there had been some question of late whether or not I was an enemy of the people. Come back and I'll tell you if I am.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. It's fully leaded education talk. Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on Air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Going to the chapel and
the big and tall of political talk, the devil's advocates.
Going to the chapel.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you so much for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We love it when you participate with us. You can do it through the Civic Media app. Just download it from your favorite app store. Hit the buttons. You can call us at 844-967-2789. I know we have some callers. We'll get to you. Be patient.
Dom, I'm taking a political field trip for the Love of Democracy Tour 2024. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada this week. Why? Because Tuesday was a primary, and today is the rigged GOP caucus for the benefit of Donald Trump. And we talked about the SCOTUS earlier today, Dom, and I feel like there was enough skepticism that it seemed quite obvious this was not going to be a successful effort on behalf of Colorado. At least that's my opinion. And I think even Donald Trump felt that way. I heard Trump speaking from Mar-a-Lago. That was the second thing I did today. I listened to the former president. I got to tell you, he seemed as calm and relaxed as I've seen the guy in forever. I think he was somehow calm. I think he felt like I might be winning this one for a change. And after he made his statements, Dom, he's flying out here to Vegas to declare victory tonight in a caucus where he's the only participant. So it's going to be a glorious win for Trump in Nevada tonight. But here, let me point out, he is doing this event, and this was supposed to be the caucus victory party. I've known about this for a couple weeks, but wasn't clear whether or not Donald Trump would actually attend his own victory in Nevada caucus party. A couple days ago, he made the announcement he's coming. You know, despite the fact we got the Super Bowl and nobody's caring a lot about the politics here, except for being, you know, like 100,000 Nevadans that voted for Joe Biden the other night-ish, just under 100,000. But anyways, here's the point. I've been concerned, Dom, that our status as the greatest radio show ever has not been acknowledged by the Trump campaign of late. I had recently been denied credentials at a Newton, Iowa event, and I looked it up. It was at a community college, small venue. You know, you could rent that room for $1,500. If you could rent the room for a wedding for $1,500, it's not a big room, right? And, you know, I didn't feel terribly, terribly victimized being denied credentials to what was clearly a small venue. But then I also saw it while I was in Des Moines, part of the earlier For the Love of Democracy Tour events, Dom. I had also been denied a Trump event where Trump wasn't going, but Ben Stabby McStabberson Carson was going to be there at a church in Iowa. And I was also denied credentials to that fine event. But I'm here in Vegas, Tom, and I asked weeks ago, and I had not gotten any clear response from the Trump campaign. And at least since I've been here, I've been looking every day, right? And there's only one real thing that mattered. When I show up, will they let me in? Because it doesn't matter if they tell you you're in or not. Either they're going to let you in at the gate or they're not. So I ventured over to the Treasure Island, took a cab on the company today, Dom, and I went to 1.6 miles. That seemed beyond walking. I've been getting my steps, but not in this case. Not in this case.
Yeah, like, but you got to get back to the radio, man.
Well, that was the other point. I didn't want to have to haul ass 1.6 miles down the strip where, you know, there's a lot of Super Bowl activity and hustle and bustle, let's just say, going on. So anyways, took a cab there, got there like 2 hours before first media entry. Oh, sorry, we're sweeping the room. You're going to have to go kill some time. Come back at 12:30. Damn it. So, you know, I'm in a casino, Dom. You know how I killed the time. Played a little video poker. Made $20, last almost an hour. And had some victuals at one of the overpriced, you know, places in the lobby there, the Treasure Island. you know, if I'd lost more money at the tables, maybe I could have been comp the steak and eggs, you know, because I'm in Vegas now. Who cares about cholesterol? And then, finally, I get up there, and they're letting in the Trump faithful. Lots of MAGA hats and, you know, strange-looking older women with, like, white campaign captain hats, similar to what we saw at the, you know, they must be, you know, the white hats with the gold, like you're gold, an admiral or something.
Very Trumpian with a
Very gold. Trumpian. But yeah. Here, let me describe the scene as I arrive at it, Dom. The Treasure Island Casino is not one of the new shiny ones anymore. It's kind of old. I would call it run down. In fact, I looked for a room today just now, and you could get a room at the Treasure Island for $72, and it's Super Bowl week.
Nice. That's so about, costly, twice as expensive as Circus doing.
Well, it wasn't Super Bowl week, but I'm not sure if that's today's rate or just the going rate, but $72 a night, that's cheap stays, if you know what I'm saying. And I got in the elevator up to the second floor convention / wedding chapel space. And that's the button. It's like wedding chapel convention. You push a fat button on the brassy elevator. I took a selfie on the elevator, but not the traditional hold the phone out, just reflecting myself off the brass. So I get up to floor number 2, Dom, and, you know, I get up to the front of the line finally and seeking my press credentials. They said, well, you know, where would we look for these? I said, try Civic Media, because the last couple times I put in under like Devil's Advocates, I thought maybe that's the problem. So I'll go with the more generic vanilla. You know, here's the network we play on, the Civic Media Network. I tried that way. And no, don't find you here on the network list as Civic Media. I said, Devil's Advocates? And he checked that as well. And, you know, nice, well-dressed young man, blonde, very Aryan looking. And anyways, the very polite young man said, no, I don't find you on the list here. And I said, yet here I am looking for entry. So why don't you see if you can, you know, get clarity for me of this question. Have you not received my credential request, or have you denied my my credential request? Because it will greatly affect how I report that today to my audience. And he said, let me get back to you. And he did. And in fact, he called me back. Come back. He said, I feel quite confident. It's the small venue space. We are full. We are full of press. And yeah, I would love to bend over backwards and accommodate. But sorry, park's closed. Moose up front should have told you. So anyways, I'm like, okay, maybe they think we're enemies of the people. But I look behind me, and this guy's wearing his MAGA hat. And he's not one of the faithful going in. I'm like, you press, dude? Oh, yeah. I'm a TikTok streamer, he tells me.
Aren't we all? Wait, we're not TikTok streamers, are we?
I don't believe we are, but he says, I'm a TikTok streamer. And so anyways, as I'm looking to the left at the wedding chapel, literally, they're having this rally on the second floor conference room wedding chapel wing at Treasure Island, which is not one of your finer casinos here. Get a room tonight for $72. And here's the answer, Dom. I won't be at the Trump rally tonight. And, you know, I'm probably okay with that. Because you go in that old casino, and they just can't stay ahead of the smoke. What'd you say? It's like a ghost.
It's always going to be there.
Well, that's what the Treasure Island, it smells like. It smells like desperation, degradation, and I figure that is Trump's kind of place. And ironically, from the Treasure Island, you can see the Trump Casino. Why wouldn't they go to the Trump Casino? Just asking. Inquiring minds want to know. Your calls could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The daughter of an inmate who killed himself at the Waupun State Prison is suing state prison officials. Megan Hoffman says they didn't give him adequate mental health care and medication. Dean Hoffman was found dead in his cell in 2023 on his ninth day in solitary confinement. He's one of at least three inmates who died at Waupun that year. Misinformation is distorting the immigration debate, so says Vina Iyer, who's an immigration law expert. She says the notion that people come to the United States for government benefits is a stubborn misconception.
There are so many laws that actually highly restrict immigrants from getting any type of public benefits or services.
Iyer says the U.S. needs comprehensive fixes to immigration law instead of stricter border enforcement. Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Amateur Hockey Association says it's had a very difficult time managing area hockey rinks this year. According to a Fox 21 report, the warm weather conditions have been undoing the work of volunteers to get the rinks flooded and iced over. Executive Director Bob Nygaard says about 30 to 35 degrees is okay for ice rinks, but with the sun at 35 degrees or higher, it's been tough to keep the ice from thawing out. The organization manages six outdoor facilities and is hoping for colder weather through early March. The Duluth Fire Department is warning residents that some popular ice fishing locations are becoming unsafe again due to the warm weather. Fire officials are warning residents to exercise caution in Superior Bay as large cracks have begun to form in the ice. Residents should stay off the ice for now and wait to see if conditions improve enough for traditional winter activities again. Fire officials also want to remind residents that wind conditions play a significant factor in ice safety on large bodies of water like that. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Did you know that Snoop Dogg has his own cereal? Neither did I. And Walmart could be to blame. So says Snoop anyway. Snoop says the chain has been hiding his product and keeping it off the shelves. How upset is Snoop over this? He and his business partner and fellow rapper Percy Master P. Miller are suing, claiming sabotage. The rappers claim that the cereal called Snoop, appropriately, was intentionally being kept off the shelves. My only guess is that Snoop cereal is incredibly nutritious and great for the munchies. Taylor Swift has a new home at Disney. Taylor Swift The Eras Tour will be available on Disney March 15th. The concert film has been available to rent on other outlets, but Disney Plus will have exclusive rights to show it for free with five brand new songs. Is it just me, or is Taylor Swift really starting to make a name for herself? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We've got it all today. Unseasonable warmth as highs soar to near 50, thanks to strong winds gusting out of the south up to 35 miles per hour. We'll see pockets of sunshine, cloudy skies, scattered showers, and even a chance of thunderstorms later this afternoon and into the evening. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the glass.
What are we doing? Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Crudy on the road in Las Vegas. Nevada caucuses later this evening. And Dom, the SCOTUS hearing oral arguments. The phone lines lit up. We'll go there next. 844-967-2789. Your hot takes coming right now. Dom, who's first?
Let's go with Susan in McFarland. Welcome, Susan. What do you have for us?
Hey, Susan.
Oh, hi, guys. And you know, Crudy or Norma here for me today, because I do agree with you about the Trumpster. Actually, I wish he couldn't be on the ballot, but I guess I look at it as though we're going to be kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if he doesn't win, they're going to call foul. And if he weren't on the ballot, people would call foul. So I think it would cause more upset. Although, from what I hear from my sister in Nevada and Utah, that people are preparing so for the worst. So,
well, yeah. Always prepare for the worst with Donald Trump, but
Susan, but here's the thing though. They're going to do it no matter what, you know what I'm saying? If you can't do something that's, you know, quote unquote, right. Or be righteous about it. And then change your mind or not act for fear that, well, the other people that are doing bad things are going to do bad things. I mean, of course they're going to do that no matter what, Susan. So, we got to be, if it's
that's not why this will be the ruling of the court. It's not their fear of the MAGA bad things to come. It's because it would create a patchwork. There'd be incongruity between how the states made determination. There were a lot of reasons and skepticism expressed by even the liberal justices about why Trump should not be excluded from the ballot, starting with Colorado. But really, it would be a free-for-all, state by state. And whether or not you give any weight to the Roberts argument that, well, it opens Pandora's box, and then ruthless Republican partisan secretaries of state or elections officials would try to take a similar tack with Joe Biden, well, that seems a bridge too far to me. But, you know, that's not the reason they're going to say no.
Could I say something? Am I wrong or not?
Yes,
oh,
you're right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Because I had heard that in one state, their Secretary of State, I'm going to take Joe Biden off. I think there has to be a definite way to frame this because, yes, wouldn't it be nice if he weren't on the ballot, but it's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be that way. So I guess I look at it, if we're going to save our democracy, we're all going to have to go out and vote. And the other thing is to really make sure that we have, you know, itemized reasons why people should be on the ballot. Maybe is there a way to change what, I mean, felons can't be on the ballot, but
right. Nor
you know,
can people that engaged in insurrection, Susan, nor people that are not citizens of this country, weren't born in this country. There's all sorts of reasons. Donald Trump disqualified himself for being on the ballot, for engaging in the insurrection. And what is it about the state by state thing that has everyone so scared? We have a lot of state by state laws. You know what I'm saying? And it's not the same ballot. Your ballot requirements are not the same in every single state, right? Hell, even the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, but if someone is the name.
Even in the state of Wisconsin, we had Phillips not on the ballot because the Dems decided they didn't want him on the ballot. And then the Supreme Court said, you got to put him on the ballot. So we already don't have consistencies for ballot qualifications state by state. What is it about this one enforcing this insurrection ban that would scare you so much?
You want an answer? Can you handle the truth, Tom? Because the answer is this: to exclude the nominee of one of the national parties and let this be a state by state process, if they would choose to do so, when the U.S. Supreme Court has been asked to create a uniform decision that would affect all the states equally. Well, for the same reasons, in part, because it is a different process in every state, this gives too much balance. We're not a popular vote electoral outcome. It's an electoral college system. And if partisan secretaries of state, and I know that's not what's happening in Colorado, but that is the question in the state of Maine and certainly in other states. I mean, hell, you got a brewmeister bringing lawsuits in the state of Wisconsin trying to exclude Trump from the ballot, talking about a patchwork workout. Well, here's the final answer. Trump should not be excluded from the ballot as a nationalized issue. That's giving too much power to any individual state on behalf of the whole nation.
So how do you apply that logic to the determination of the Wisconsin Democratic Party to not put Phillips on the ballot?
Well, that's also, I would say, and you know, I was on the side of putting Phillips for the same reason Ketanji Brown Jackson said today. Anything that takes someone off the ballot is restricting democracy. So my argument all the time has been more ballot access. Put Trump on the ballot, put Dean Phillips on the ballot. I have been uniform in my argument.
Cannot be on the presidential ballot, right? Those that are Arnold Schwarzenegger cannot be on the presidential ballot. We have certain requirements. You cannot be 20 years old to get on the presidential ballot. There are restrictions, and one of those restrictions is engaging it or in insurrection or providing
based on what criteria?
I'm sorry?
How are you going to nationalize that criterion? That was asked of the court today as well. Okay, what is the standard for insurrection? Is it a state-by-state standard determined by partisans?
Colorado, they had a five-day trial where Donald Trump had his attorneys representing his side, and he was found to be engaged in insurrection. They had a trial.
That was brought up today as well, certainly, Dom. Yeah. But it was a different outcome in Maine with no prior... seemingly with no prior due process extended to the Trump campaign. He was just excluded. So again, one size does not fit all. And if you cannot find a uniform insurrection policy, and I get it, 14th Amendment Section 3, but they do not seem to think this court, including the liberals, they're not seeing it your way, man. So you can argue you're effective than the guy from Colorado was.
Listen, if you go to court and you're found to be guilty of an insurrection by a jury, right?
When's that happened to Trump?
And he had 5 days of testimony. I guess it wasn't clear if it was jury or judges. I believe it was judges. But that was due process. That was due process, man.
How
is that same standard? If you're in the state of Wisconsin and you engaged in an insurrection and tried, and again, the same set of facts and the same exact circumstances.
You can argue until you're blue in the face. The judges are skeptical of your logic.
If you were found guilty by a court, you could be disqualified for the insurrection, man.
I know that the ruling of the lower court and the Supreme Court in Colorado, both courts found that Trump was insurrectionist for his actions. And the U.S. Supreme Court is not having that as an argument, Dom. So you can argue it, but the outcome is not going to favor what you're saying. The outcome is going to be
Donald Trump goes on
the ballot.
I'm not convinced as to why that would be. We have a judicial process in this country. If you're brought to trial and charged and convicted of, I don't know, engaging in insurrection.
When he's charged and convicted on a federal basis, that happens, when there is a conviction, not some state court created due process of their own device, if he goes to the federal courts, if he goes to the J6, the Chutkan courtroom, which is, you know, the most important one, Dom, in my opinion, if and when he goes through that process and he's convicted, and he's not even charged with insurrection, just for clarity's sake, but I think there'd be a much better case to make that this guy has disqualified himself because he's been convicted. But to say due process is the same as a criminal conviction is not true, and the courts don't believe you. They are not sympathetic to the arguments you're making.
That is true. They are not. 844-967-2789. David from Mequon, you're up. Welcome, David. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Wow. Battle Royale here going on. really quickly, I think in regards with all this, this is what I think. I think when it's all said and done, there's going to be probably an 8-1 ruling. I agree with Crudy that if you got liberals that are agreeing with conservatives, there'll probably be one dissenter, but that's about it. At the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of people. I think there's only been one or maybe three people are even charged with anything that was close to an insurrection. Everybody else was charged with like trespassing and other miscellaneous things.
Well, there's been seditious conspiracy charges, especially against the Proud Boys. And there are a number of unindicted co-conspirators along with Donald Trump in the federal trials. I think they're worried about the biggest fish at this point. But there are, you know, the Mark Meadows of the world, man, there are so many co-conspirators in this effort that will be either charged or pled guilty or give some sort of state's evidence against the bigger fish, which is Donald Trump. But I would greatly suggest that Mark Meadows participated actively in a criminal conspiracy that you could describe as an insurrection. Mm-hmm. As did Donald Trump, buddy.
But, you know, at the end of the day, guys, this is the way I look at it, is that let's say hypothetically, let's say Dom was able to kick Donald Trump off the ballot without any charge or without any conviction, like you were bringing up, Crudy, we would have a civil war. No, that guaranteed, it'd be beyond awful if that were to happen, if he were just kicked off the ballot without anything as far
without
as...
Without reason, like something. David? I mean, is there reason?
Yeah, because you just... I was going to mention really quickly, you saw the other big outcome today with the Attorney General, with Biden, with the classified...
Special Counsel.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Issued
later,
his report,
David,
to Congress.
Yeah, appreciate
no
it,
David. No charges against Biden today.
And some hit job, perhaps. Second hour, David. Thanks for the call, man. We'll get to it. Right now, it's about the courts. It's about Colorado. It's about this ballot access for Donald Trump, 844-967-2789. Cam from Neenah, Wisconsin. You're up, Cam. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cam.
Hey. Okay. It's really frustrating that we had a situation with Bush versus Gore, and Bush probably was going to win anyways after they had finished tallying up the counts, but they still made a decision on who the winner was preemptively as if it wasn't really a problem. But then, because there's, I think, four of those judges that were around then are a part of the Supreme Court.
I believe three
now.
Of those justices participated as Bush campaign attorneys. I saw Kavanaugh on CNN tape from 2000. I believe Justice Roberts, and I believe maybe Gorsuch, although I don't want to be crystal clear on the third, but three of them were involved in the Bush partisan defense in the Bush v. Gore in Florida. Were attorneys on the
and
team.
And then Roberts to say, and quote, and I'll let you know where I skip, in very quick order, I would expect, skip, that a goodly number of states will say, whoever the Democratic candidate is, you're off the ballot, he said, and it will come down to a handful of states that will determine the presidential election. I don't know if he knows what the Electoral College is.
Hello? Cam, you still there?
Yep.
Oh,
I think he has dropped the mic, Dom. He's waiting for your capable response.
Cam,
however you're going to respond.
I mean, yes, I don't know if he's taking the math into that consideration when he says that. Thanks for the call, man. Good point. 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, hey, big thing out of the day. Crude, I can't believe that Tom Baudet didn't keep the light on for you there at
Motel 6?
Island?
I am not allowed in the wedding chapel adjoining ballroom for a glorious Donald Trump victory in the caucus where he's the only participant here in the state of Nevada tonight, and they're going to the brass filled with smoke and desperation Treasure Island Casino second floor. And you know, there were employees in the casino that didn't know Trump was coming.
The other big news of the day, you there?
Yeah.
Yep. Go ahead.
Is the fact that the Sphinx finally spoke. He rarely speaks or does anything. I'm talking about Clarence Thomas. I mean, he actually spoke.
Well, very much like a partisan hack, to my opinion, Dick. Very partisan hack. Hey, Dom, interesting note. I think I mentioned a few times, I can see the sphere right out my window here. Some anti-abortion Spider-Man climbed that thing yesterday. I wish I'd have known. I could have watched, maybe shot spitballs from the balcony. I mean, it's pretty close. Maybe not spitball close, but that's crazy. I would not do that. Don't climb the sphere. More Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789. Do call us.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays,
disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It's a unique opportunity to ask your questions during the Earl Ingram Show on Friday, February 9th.
United States Senator Ron Johnson is going to be joining us here in the studio. He's going to spend an hour as we have some open dialogue. Phone lines are going to be open. We'll take some phone calls.
Join Earl and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson Friday, February 9th. The Earl Ingram Show, mornings from 8 to 10, here on your local Civic Media Radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Grudy can't get into Treasure Island tonight, but you are always welcome on Thunder Island. We have some former President Trump. He's got a response to his presidential immunity. He's got some response on the Supreme Court. So let's get to that. And then, callers, we will get to you as well. Please, as always, be patient.
This was earlier today when he was in West Palm Beach at the Mar-a-Lago, right? I believe it is. It was quite loud. It's like Mar-a-Lago must be in the flight path because it – this sound is not all excellent, but let's do.
Well, that's what Trump always did, man. He'd talk out by the helicopter. You know, it's just terrible.
Yeah, but he's on the front porch of Mar-a-Lago, and you can hear planes flying by every 3 seconds, man. That's a loud neighborhood. I'm just saying. It's like living over by the F-35s in Madison.
On the presidential immunity comments, cut eight, please, Nate.
Well, I can say presidential immunity, which we'll be talking about because that would be upcoming. It's very, very important for a president to have. If a president doesn't have immunity, he really doesn't have a presidency. He can be told to do things that he would never do. He can do really bad things for our country. Presidential immunity is imperative. It's going to be very, very important. And I'd rather talk about that next week. But there is nothing more important to a presidency than immunity. Because they have to be free to make decisions without saying, oh, if I do this or if I do that, as soon as I get out of office, we're going to be indicted. We're going to have trouble. And the other party will do that. I think we've seen that. They've done that. There's some very bad people. And you have an opposition party, and they will do things that are very bad. If you don't have immunity, you can be blackmailed. You can be, as a president, if you don't do this, this, and this, we're going to indict you as soon as you leave office. You cannot allow a president to be out there without immunity. They don't have immunity. You don't have a presidency. You lose all form of free thought and good thought. And you probably weaken the presidency to a point that it was never supposed to be weakened. It would be a very bad thing for our country. We'll be talking about immunity in the coming weeks.
All right, we get the point, Nate. We can just pod that down. That's enough of him. Presidential immunity. Let's hear his ramblings on the Supreme Court. Cut number 9, please.
Well, I'm a believer in our country, and I'm a believer in the Supreme Court. I listened today, and I thought our arguments were very, very strong. An argument that is very important is the fact that you're leading in every race, you're leading in every state, you're leading in the country against both Republican and Democrat and Biden. You're leading in the country by a lot. And can you take the person that's leading everywhere and say, hey, we're not going to let you run? You know, I think that's pretty tough to do, but I'm leaving it up to the Supreme Court. Thank you all very much.
Oh, he's got one more in the Supreme Court. Let's hear that. Cut 10, please.
In watching the Supreme Court today, I thought it was it's a very beautiful process. I hope that democracy in this country will continue. Because right now we have a very, very tough situation with all of the radical left ideas, with the weaponization of politics. They weaponized it like it's never been weaponized before. It's totally illegal, but they do it anyway.
Were there guns? Is this, I think, is this referring to guns at the January 6th insurrection? Cut number 11. Oh, go ahead, Crudy.
Well, there is one quote that was not captured because of the jet plane sound, but if we have more sound, but I got the coup de grace from Trump.
All right.
Very important.
Let's do one more. Cut 11, please.
This was an insurrection, if it was an insurrection, which there were no guns, there were no anything except for the fact that they shot Ashley Babbitt. Somebody from police force shot Ashley Babbitt. So unnecessary, so sad, so horrible. But there were no guns. There were no anything.
That's so wrong. There were guns. People were convicted of having guns. And we'll never know how many because a lot of those folks got to go home. They stashed guns. We know that. They were absolutely guns. So why were they getting turned away at the machines, Trump? But anyway, Trump, Crudy, you go.
Well, according to the Daily Beast, and I did see some of this on the Twitter account of the Lincoln Project, Trump didn't elaborate on how the January 6th riot, which was carried out by thousands of self-proclaimed Trump supporters, could possibly be tied to Rep. Nancy Pelosi. Instead, he wrongly claimed that he made only very beautiful, very heartwarming statements on the day of the attack, suggesting he wasn't the person who incited the violence. I heard, and I watched, and the one thing I'll say is they kept saying about what I said right after the insurrection. So that's a key point, Dom. Trump acknowledges in his verbiage today, they kept saying about what I said right after the insurrection. It would seem by his own words, he's acknowledging the fact it was an insurrection. More from his statement, which I think was an insurrection caused by Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Again, referring to the actions of that day as an insurrection. Of course, not taking personal culpability for it.
No,
peacefully and patriotically, take a look at the statements I made before and after, and you'll see a whole different dialogue. But, Dom, the important point is Trump, through his own language, twice in the same sentence, acknowledged it was an insurrection. It was just Nancy Pelosi's fault.
Of course.
844-967-2789. Time to sneak one or two in here, Dom.
Jake, you're up. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jake.
This is where Dom is like a 250% right, and Crew, you're completely, utterly wrong. Pragmatism is not workable in this case is because it's a constitutional matter. And that state has the right to deny women the right to an abortion if it wants, right? And it has the right to set its own terms for voting, what it can vote, who can vote. It can make and gerrymander districts like we can. Actually, the Supreme Court can go back and tell our Supreme Court that they're not right. And they can force us to have majorities of Republicans for 10 years. No, it's all over the board. This is all about them doing what they want because they got power, right? So it doesn't matter to me if they use their 14th Amendment right because that's their right because he is a criminal.
Okay, well, that is not what was being tried before the court today. And the question is whether a singular state, be it Colorado or Maine or any of the other numerous states that asked the U.S. Supreme Court to rule on this, this is not just blind partisanship on behalf of the SCOTUS. I mean, there are times, and we'll see what they do about the immunity pleadings of Donald Trump, whether they help him delay, whether they, through their own actions, in effect, give him immunity. But on this case, I mean, you're probably going to get an 8190 ruling. This was liberals. This was Republicans. You may not like the logic, the pragmatism of the courts, but I was actually encouraged by the uniformity of thought amongst the courts. Come back with us, Joe Biden. No charges. He got off scot-free. We'll talk about it in an hour or two.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Slecker.
And this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Tune in this week to Busted Pencils every weekday at 7 p.m.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Jane Matt Mayer.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Mayer on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle.